thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Jose Rodriguez. I'll be leading us through our service this morning. And we are going to take a break from the Psalms, because we'll be in the Psalms for the entirety of this year. However, today we are going to be in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 19, starting at verse 11, and we'll read through verse 27. This is one of Jesus's many parables of the minas. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's word. Luke 19, starting at verse 11. And as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they have gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And he said to the second, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you will be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here's your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You know that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that the one who has more will be given, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for your word. I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would lead and guide us, draw us closer to yourself. Lord, may each and every one of us be transformed. We thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we are thinking of giving a gift, a present, sometimes it's hard to know what that person's going to enjoy. Sometimes you might feel as if they have everything already, so what can I possibly give them? And to my surprise, and I'm sure of yours, is one of the easiest things that we've been able to gift someone is a gift card, right? Because a gift card covers a multitude of possibilities. As a matter of fact, it removes that pressure that you and I might have in reference of finding a gift. You can find a gift card for movies, restaurants, generic ones, right? And they come from different amounts, $25, $50, $100, right? And I know when I receive a gift card, I'm excited, right? I have an idea of how I'm going to spend this gift card. And usually, that idea doesn't pan out until later. And one day turns into a week turns into a month turns into a year, and life gets busy, and all of a sudden I forget that I have a gift card until that one day when I'm going through my stuff, and all of a sudden I find the gift card, and I go, oh, there it is, right? And as I take it out of the package, and I look at it, all of a sudden I discover the card is expired. Oh, right? And here's the truth, right? According to bankrate.org, approximately $27 billion a year are what you would call turned in gift cards. $27 billion, about 43% unused gift cards. 27% are just lost. The gift had a purpose. And unless we use the gift is lost. And that's what is contained in this particular parable that we will be looking at today. It's an amazing parable. It is a parable of faithfulness with what's been entrusted to the servants, but ultimately what's been entrusted to each and every one of you who put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ's finished work upon Calvary's cross. What are you doing with what God has given you in reference to your time, your talents, your treasures? Are you using them to advance the kingdom of God? Now, a parable is a story that most people would understand. It has earthly elements, and it's to convey a spiritual principle. Now, this particular parable is tied to a historical event in the life of the Israelites. When King Herod died, he had three sons, and the territory that King Herod had was divided among the three sons. Philip to the east, Antipas to the north, and Achilles to the south, which he controlled Judah and Samaria. You can see that here in the map, that red portion. So Achilles, in order to exert his authority on Passover, as the pilgrims came to the temple, he decided to slaughter 3,000 Jews. But then he had to go to Rome in order to have Caesar give him the authority of the territory. And when the Jewish authority heard that he was going to Rome, they sent a delegation of 50 to tell Caesar, "We don't want this man to reign over us." And Caesar, being the political one. He told Achilles that he was not going to make him king over Judah. However, he was going to make him the governor. And then we will see in time how he did with those responsibilities. So Jesus takes that historical story, a story that happened 30 years earlier, and he applies it to this particular parable. And he says it because the people thought that he was coming to establish a new kingdom. The kingdom would be set in place and the Roman government would be removed. He said this while he was in Jericho. Jericho lies about 15 miles south of Jerusalem. It's all going up a hill. And the people were in anticipation. Remember, this is now a few hours before the people will be shouting to Jesus, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Lord, save us!" And then a few days later, those same people will be crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Jesus takes all of these elements and he weaves it into this parable. Right? So he says, right? So that is not working. Can you advance that? Nope, not that way. Right, so I'll keep going. I got to do this the old way. I got to grab my Bible. There we are. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So that's what they were hoping for. They were looking for this new kingdom. And sometimes you and I get caught up in, well, things should be different. There should be a new kingdom because Jesus Christ came. And why is there so much strife? Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much suffering? When is he going to make all things right? And here's what you and I need to remember. He came the first time in order to provide salvation. He's coming a second time to establish his new kingdom. So yes, right now we struggle with sickness, illness, disappointment, unhappiness. Depending on where you stand, you either like the president, you don't like the president. You're either for it or you're against it. We all have opinions on how things should go. We all have a standing on a social position. We question whether the climate is being affected, whether it's not being affected. And we wonder where God is in all of this. But all of that is going to be taken care of at his second coming. Right now, he came to provide salvation. That's what it says in the verses before we just read, right? That he has come to save and to seek the lost. He had just restored Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. But the people were waiting for a kingdom. And we know that, right? Because here's what it says in Zechariah 14. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies just before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split into two from east to west by the very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. The people knew this. And as he was traveling, Jesus, from Jericho up to Jerusalem, eventually he would come to Bethany, and Bethany is on a little knoll. And as you get to the top of Bethany, you then see the crest of the Mount of Olives. And as you get to the Mount of Olives, you then see Jerusalem on the other side of the valley. And the people were just waiting with anticipation. But Jesus needed to correct their thinking in reference to the kingdom. The kingdom is coming, but not now. They needed to know that. We need to know that. And in light of that, he would say this. A nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Jesus uses that historical story of Herod's son receiving Judah, and now he takes that story and he applies it to himself. Jesus is the nobleman. He was here, he was born, he took on flesh, he walked this earth for 33 years, eventually to go to a Roman cross to conquer sin and death. He would be put into a borrowed tomb. As he would come out of that borrowed tomb 3 days later, he would walk on this earth for 40 days. He would ascend to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father, where he would be crowned Lord and King, and to receive a kingdom that will eventually come. So he's waiting. And as a result of what he's given you as salvation, he is saying, what are you doing with what I've given you? He wants you to do some business for him. He's given you time, talents, and treasures. How are you using those for his purpose? Yes, I know we think of things as if mine and ours, but really, if he is creator of all things, he is the one who owns all things, even you and me. And he is saying, what are you doing with what I've given you? And if what I've given you is salvation, then what are you doing with that? So then he would say, he called 10 of his servants, and he gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. Right. So he wants to find you busy. I'll tell you, we're no different than any other church. 20% of the ministry happens with just 20% of you. Right. That means 80% just come and just come. Right? And for some reason, that's okay with you, right? And right now, I'm working hard not to stare at one person, right? I'm like looking, right? I don't want you to think I'm thinking of you, right? If God works in your heart, praise God, right? But I'm looking at everybody, even myself. Are you engaged in God's business? Right? And that's what we're going to look at, because there's three types of individuals that this story is going to point out. There's the faithful servant, there's the unfaithful servant, and then there's the enemy. And according to God coming back, Jesus with his kingdom, everybody's going to have to give an account. Everybody is going to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for what you did with what he has given you. Nobody escapes that. So when I say that, that doesn't mean that those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, they don't go before the judgment seat. He created it all, so everybody. So if you are agnostic, you go before Christ. If you are atheist, you go before Christ. If you believe in Muhammad, you go before Christ. If you follow Buddha, you go before Christ. If you are just doing nothing, you are going before Christ to give an account for what you have done with what he has given you, unless you are an enemy of Christ. So he's given 10 minas. There's 10 servants. Each one of them gets one mina each. A mina is the approximation of 3 months' salary. And he says, do business. I'm leaving. But the citizens hated him. And a delegation was sent after him saying, we don't want this man to reign over us. Right? You hear the echoing of the historical events, right? That's what the Jewish people said against Achilles. And now Jesus is taking that story and applying it to himself. So then the nobleman leaves. And everybody is supposed to be busy doing the work of God. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they have gained by doing business. He left, but he's returning. We're waiting. And sometimes in our waiting, we might even feel like, well, is he coming back? We've been waiting a while, right? But according to Scripture, he is coming back. And then he calls them all in front of him and he says, well, what have you done with what I've given you? The first came to him, said, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. Right, it's, you can hear the humbleness in this particular servant. He didn't say, well, Lord, look at what I've done with the money you gave me. No, he says, here's what your mina has done. Thank you for that opportunity. And as a result of that, the nobleman, eventually is Jesus, he says, well done, good servant. Because you've done well with little, you now have authority over 10 cities. Right? Can you imagine? Right? It's to be that faithful servant, to hear those words. Aren't those the words you and I want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Right? According to Scripture, in order for you and I to receive that, we have to be busy in the business of God, right? We can't just be the ones warming the chairs. I know here, right, as a human design, right, when we think of work, a lot of times we think of work with the idea that once we get to this time, this place, sometimes 65, there's this retirement, right? And as if we now get to do what we want to do with our time, right? And I'll say this, right? I've read this Bible cover to cover, and nowhere in here does it speak about retirement. I can't find it, right? So help me, right? If anything, he wants you busy doing something else for him, especially if you have time. Then the second came to him. It saying, Lord, your mina has made five. He says, I'll make you over five cities, right? So the first guy increased the mina by 100%. The second guy increased it by 500%. The first guy gets a well done. The second guy does not get a well done. However, he does get the acknowledgement and the authority of five cities, right? And it's almost as if the nobleman sees and he says, you know what? You did some work. However, you didn't put all your effort into it. These are the faithful servant. This is the one wanting to be a faithful servant. Right? And all of a sudden, we come to the third guy. The other came saying to him, here's your mina, which I've laid in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit. You reap what you did not sow. Right? So this third guy, he receives the mina. And instead of investing, doing business, he takes it, puts it in a handkerchief, and forgets about it. You know what? I'm not going to do any effort. I'm not going to put any amount of my time because I am not going to risk it. Right? And you can hear the tone of this particular servant. Right? He says, I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow, right? So this particular servant is calling the nobleman, right? It's like, well, the way you do business is you're a thief, right? You take what you did not sow, you reap what you did not, right? It's you're a thief, right? It's you're a hard man. And here's the thing. This particular servant was just lazy. He received what I would call salvation, but then he chose not to do anything with it. And I know, you know, it's as we believe, right, in our Reformed tradition, in reference to Calvin, once saved, always saved. And as Pastor John and I would say with each other, it's, well, that's if you're saved. Right? Because if you're saved, there should be a transformative peace in your life and in my life. This particular servant would have been better off not receiving the coin, saying, give it to somebody else, and say that at least with integrity. Because if you give it to me, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm not going to waste my time. Right? And how do you and I see people like that today? Right? You might come to church and you might want to see a certain ministry happening in the life of the church. You go, the church down the street has that ministry. Why don't they have this ministry? You know what? I guess they're not working at it. And maybe God wants you to start that ministry. In a little while, we'll be leaving, and every first of the month, we have this fellowship breakfast that they put this whole spread out. And there are some of you that will sit and eat and take. And then there's that little donation bucket, right? Give if you can, right? And month after month, you take, but nothing goes into that bucket, right? If you're being convicted, good. Right? Because we need more of you to get involved in the life of the church. Yeah, you can clap. Right? We don't do this solo. the nobleman would say, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You know that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Right? Imagine hearing those words, you wicked servant. One of the other translations says, you no good servant. Right? As I read some of the commentators, right, they want to see this servant at least make it into heaven, right? Once saved, always saved, right? But I find it hard that this person that God is calling wicked is going to make it to heaven. What do you think? Right? Right? I find it hard, right? Especially when you have verses like, get away from me, I never knew you. Right? I find it hard for this person to make it in. I find it hard when I have verses like, he's going to separate the sheep and the goat. Who are you today? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Right? So he's going to pass judgment. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at least at my coming, I would have collected interest, right? Because he didn't care. He didn't care, right? He looked like he received forgiveness, the gift of salvation, and in the end, he just didn't care. He didn't want to invest any of his time, effort, energy. He didn't care. That word bank in the Greek translates to table, right? And when you sit at the table, one person would write and keep a ledger, put your name on it with the amount of money, and then they would take that money and invest it with other people that wanted to borrow money with interest. And when they would pay it back, the interest would be divided in half, right? And he's saying, why didn't you at least do that, right? And you have to ask the question, why did this servant not even do that, right? And you have to think of the human condition. If he didn't want his name to be accounted, maybe he was hoping that the nobleman would never come back, right? And if he doesn't come back, at least the mina that he has in the napkin would be something that later on he would find, just like we find those gift cards after a period of time. Oh, look what I found, right? It's always exciting, right, when a member of my family finds one of my gift cards, right? And also it's like, oh, look, I got something to use, right? Especially my wife, when she finds my Starbucks cards, right? She just takes all of those, right? But there's that sense of, right, it's not wanting to be responsible or accountable for what God has given. And here's the thing, right? When we stop and we think of, well, what did God give? God, our Father, gave his very best for you and for me. And here's what he says, right? When I come back, what have you done? What have you done with the time that I've given you? What have you done with the talents that I have bestowed upon you? What have you done with the treasures that you have? Right, because we, according to scriptures, we're stewards over everything that we have. We are called to manage God's stuff. None of it is your stuff. All of it is his stuff, right? I know sometimes you say, right, oh, the church is always asking, trying to raise money here or there, right? If everybody gave and tithed, right, we would never have to ask for anything. Right? That's just the reality, because that principle of the 20 and 80 also translates in the giving, right? 20% give, 80% just come, right? And here's the thing, as a pastor, if I don't take the time to share that with you, I am not doing my job. So if you have a problem with God's word, you have a problem with God. Right? I know, but I don't make enough, I don't have enough, I don't have enough time. You know what? I would like to use my talents, but you know what? I'm so busy. Maybe you need to be busy in the things of God, because He is coming back. He's coming back. And He said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. Right? And here's the amazing part about judgment. Because judgment's coming. And it's either going to be good or it's going to be unpleasant. Right? Sometimes we think or want to think that judgment's going to be private, just between you and Jesus. Right? But according to this, it says, and those who stood by, right? So there are people watching as you are being judged. Take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. Right? To do something that honors God, that blesses God, that lifts God's name up on high. As I said earlier, there's the faithful servant, there's the unfaithful servant, and then there's the one who's identified as the enemy. I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given, but to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who do not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Right? Everybody comes in the presence of Jesus. Nobody escapes that. Right? So who are you today? Are you the faithful servant where God's going to look at all that you've done for him and say, well done, good servant, if he was to return today and establish his kingdom here and now? Would you be that unfaithful servant who said, Lord, I was afraid of you. You're a severe man. You take what isn't yours. You reap what you didn't sow. Or are you that individual that you're here because somebody invited you here? You're unsure of where you sit in relationship with God, but in your heart is, I don't believe any of this. I don't need him reigning over me, right? It's like, I'm a good person, right? There's going to come a time where each and every one of us are going to stand before him and give an account. So here's the question, right? Are you actively using what God has given you? Are you using it for his business? Or are you letting fear, laziness, procrastination keep you from being that faithful steward? Which one is it? Or are you the enemy of God? Right? And those are really the only questions worth answering right now. Right? And if you identify either being an unfaithful servant or an enemy of God, and you're here and you're sensing a tug in your heart then this is the day that it can all start over for you. In a short while, we are going to come to this table. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then according to Scripture, you will be saved. And also, and from this moment on, you can start living a different life for Him, doing His business, doing His work. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank You for this parable. It's a parable that speaks to each and every one of us. We can't escape it. And Lord, wherever we find ourselves, we do pray for Your grace, Your mercy. And Lord, and if some of us have been unfaithful for a while, I pray, Lord, that we would ask for forgiveness, that we would seek You, and that we would start to live a life that's honoring to You. And Lord, and if I'm here and I didn't know that You died for me, I was here because of an invitation, maybe. Lord, I want to receive You as Lord and Savior. Right, but all of that is settled at this table. A table where You come and You meet Your people. So Lord, help us as we commune with You. I pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.